Well, today, being the 33rd Sunday of the year in the church's calendar, we have come to these kind of November sorts of readings and into the first couple weeks of Advent that talk about the last things that remind us about death and judgment and heaven and hell. And the Lord here is giving them a teaching, and he's giving it to us. There is a very clear message here that's so clear that, you know we've heard it before. We know we're going to die. We know you, quote, can't take it with you. We know these things, but we don't live that way. We don't live like we know that. And so the Lord is kind of saying, hey, let's get back to, listen to me, be sober about this. So with that in mind, let's just take a look at this gospel. And let's consider the setting, first of all. This would be Jesus' last visit to Jerusalem over the period of a week. And he comes down, and this takes place on Tuesday of Holy Week. And there is this beautiful view that you get from the top of the Mount of Olives. If you go to Jerusalem, even now, all the tour buses stop there. It's like, wow, you know, look at that. So you're up there at the top of the Mount of Olives looking down on the beautiful city of Jerusalem. And you have this impressive view. What we see today is not like what Jesus and his apostles saw, but nevertheless a great thing of beauty. And so Jesus, as they are looking there on that Tuesday of Holy Week, his apostles stop and they make note of the beautiful building. Look at the temple. Look at the stones. Look at the gold onlays. Look at the magnificence of this. This is, you know, the temple, the ancient Jewish temple was, you know, a lot of things are, there's about 85 things that are considered the seven wonders of the ancient world. But it was certainly up there on most people's list. One of the great, great wonders of the ancient world. Beautiful, magnificent building. And they're admiring it. And Jesus said, well, listen, I got news for you. There's a day coming, not so long into the future. Some of you will not even see death before you see it take place, where this whole building, this temple you're looking at, will be thrown down, and that one stone will be left upon another. The temple would be destroyed? Yes. Yes. It had already been destroyed once before in 587 B.C. by the Babylonians. It had been rebuilt and now was a glorious building. But, you know, it's not about a building. Something more than buildings here. You know, if you were to look at St. Peter's and say, wow, look at that building. Look at the magnificence. Go inside. See the beauty. But I hope that our Catholic Church isn't about a building. If it's just a building, we're all in trouble because we're not in that building right now. We're here. So we see that the Lord warns them. Don't be too impressed with earthly glories. They pass. They all pass away. He tells them also of a coming war. We're dropped down here in the middle of Mark chapter 13, right into the middle of what's called the Mount Olivet Discourse. We're up there in the Mount of Olives. The Lord is warning them. He says, listen, they say, well, you said this is going to be destroyed, Lord. How will that happen and when? And what will be the signs? And he says, look, he says, there'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, there'll be signs in the heavens, the stars will not give their light, the moon and the sun will be darkened, and likewise, you'll see Jerusalem being surrounded by an army. And when you see that army beginning to surround Jerusalem, know this, it is a fruitless, it is a pointless and foolish war. Have nothing to do with it. If you're in your house, go down. If you don't go back in to get all your stuff, just get out while the getting's good. If you're out in the field, don't go back into the city. It is a fruitless thing. Get out while the getting's good. Leave. This war is not for you. I've called you to go to the Romans and convert them, not make war upon them. I want you to win the war by making them your brothers and coming to the altar together. That's what I want. But unfortunately, in 70 A.D., actually the war began in 67, middle of 67 A.D., and for 3.5 years, from 66 all the way through 70, a terrible war the Romans waged with the Jewish people. Over 1 million Jews lost their lives in that war. And the city was ultimately just completely destroyed. The temple, ruined, destroyed. Not one stone was left on another. It all came true. Some 40 years after Jesus said it would happen. 40 biblical years. And because they would not believe, they would not learn to love their enemies. And so they went to a foolish war that utterly destroyed the Jewish kingdom and its temple. And so we see that political realities and buildings and all these things pass. All these things, they are passing away. So therefore, we're dropped here into the middle of this Mount Olivet discourse. And the Lord gives us, I would argue, three teachings today. And the three teachings are these, that the first one is the perspective of passing. He says at the very end of the gospel today, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, a lot of people mistake, they get a little confused when he says heaven and earth will pass away. He doesn't mean the heaven where God dwells. The Jewish people had an understanding of it. Well, I'm simplifying a little, but let's keep it simple. There were three heavens. There was the heaven where God lives. That's eternal. It's not going anywhere. Then there's the heaven where the stars and the planets are. That's the second heavens. And the first heavens is here down here where there are clouds and the birds fly. So first heavens, second heavens, and the third heavens where God lives. St. Paul once spoke of having been caught up into the third heavens and seeing things that no one can ever repeat. No one could ever put into words. So the third heaven's not going anywhere. So when the Lord says heaven and earth will pass away, he's talking about the moon, the stars, the planets, the clouds, the birds, all these things that we think are so stably there. And the Lord talks today in the gospel about the stars coming down onto the earth. We know that's not physically possible. It's a figure of speech. It means that all these things that you steer by, that you depend on, all these stars and navigation points, it's all going to be chaotic. You won't have them. You know, if I were to say to you that it's raining cats and dogs, you don't mean to take me literally? I hope not. All those animals lying dead outside on the grass or something, that's a big mess, too, to clean up. You know, so again, when he talks about stars, these are prophetic language for saying that the stars help people to know where we were in the season. There's Orion's Belt. Right now, Venus is beautiful. Tonight at sunset, look over there in the western sky, and Venus is just shining bright, and Jupiter right up there, and it travels across the night sky. If you get a binoculars or you get a telescope, look up at Jupiter. You'll see the moons of Jupiter as well. And so these were navigation points for them. It's how they understood the seasons and the times and where they were. And if you were at sea, you'd travel by the North Star. So you see the idea, everything will be taken away. And so the Lord says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. There are any number of places where in Scripture we read about this elsewhere. It says, for example, in 1 Corinthians, it says that the world in its present form is passing away. Or again, we see in the letter to the Hebrews, we have here no lasting city. Or again, in Psalm 146, put not your trust in princes, in mortal men in whom there is no help. Take their breath, they return to clay, and their plans that day come to nothing. You see, these are the things we have to be so careful about. Now, we know this, but we don't live this way. We're always mesmerized, and we think, oh, you know, if the wrong party's in power, the right party's in power, we're either happy or sad, or we're all worked up about this or that situation, and you know, it comes, it goes. Think about the church. The one thing that is indefectible in this world is the church. The Lord said the gates of hell will never prevail, which presumes they're going to try, but they won't prevail. And when you think about it, that's been fulfilled. Here we are, 2,000 years of the New Testament period, the New Covenant, And if you add the Old Covenant, you know, some 5,000 years we've been here proclaiming God's word. Not living it perfectly, to be sure, but proclaiming it, yes. And in this period, empires have come and gone and nations have risen and fallen. All kinds of crazy things have come up, heresies, foolish things, and they've come and they've gone, and here we still are, just preaching the same word, that same dusty old book that some people call it. It's perdured because it's God's word, and it remains forever, and it will not be changed. Even if it doesn't suit our fancies, it will be here. It is here. It is the stable navigation point for you and for me. Even the stars will be swept away, but the word of God remains forever. And therefore, we ought to be well acquainted with it, but most of us aren't. Some people today will spend 4 to 5 hours watching a football game. They will be looking at statistics. They will be wondering about who's in the NFL East, who's going to be, you know, you all this stuff, right? It's all about a bag full of air going up and down a field. And they will look at this. They will look at this game and spend billions of dollars will be spent today. But nobody can find time to read the Bible or pray. And this is how we live. This is where we are. I say we, I don't mean every one of you here, but I say that this is our human condition. So here we are. The Lord is teaching us that all this stuff's going to pass away. Who won the NFC East in 1971? I don't know. Maybe the Redskins. I don't know. Oops, I'm not supposed to say that. All right. But I don't remember. You probably don't either. And if you do, I'm going to say, can you tell me the four Gospels? So there is a perspective that the Lord gives us of passing. Some of you have gone to the Holy Land with me, and we've walked, and not just the Holy Land, we've been to Greece in the footsteps of Paul's tour, and I can tell you we've walked through the ruins of many once great cities. I think of Corinth, where we walked. That was a great city, every bit as great as Washington, D.C., huge with big colonnaded streets and buildings with Greek columns and magnificent, and now some ruins. Or Ephesus, a magnificent city of the ancient world, opulent, beautiful, glorious. Or even smaller places like Capernaum, Bethsaida, Chorazin. We've walked, many of us, in the ruins of those cities. Someone said, well, this will always be here. This is a great city. What could ever happen to Corinth? Well, it's gone now. Could that ever happen to Washington? Oh, impossible. We're the most powerful nation on the earth. It'll never happen. Yeah. 2,000 years from now, maybe people will be walking in the ruins of Washington, D.C. This world, we have here no lasting city. Now, I'm kind of repeating myself, but, you know, sometimes we need to. Because, you see, there is for us a perspective of passing that we don't want to look at. We need to be reminded of it. I certainly remind myself and everyone, anyone who's ever been to a funeral I preached here, you could almost say my sermon from memory. But part of the sermon says, and I'll say it to you now, you are going to die. And you don't get to say when, and you don't get to say how. I hope nobody dies suddenly or tragically. But it happens. My sister died in a fire. My mother died in a snowstorm. Fire and ice. Sudden. Never got a chance to say goodbye. You just never know. And so again, even though this is a painful truth, there's something freeing about it. Because, you know, if we really meditate, you know, we get so worked up. And then someone from AA will say, don't worry, this too shall pass. Okay, all right, this too shall pass. When? We're all worked up, we're anxious and worried about many, many things that... Walk through a cemetery every now and again and look at those tombstones, and all those folks are worked up about stuff too. And there they are, and here we still are, but at the end of the day, they've gone on, hopefully we pray to something far better. So again... There is, if you will, a perspective of passing that the Lord wants to give us today. Secondly, then, there is the permanence that is proclaimed, right? That, again, we've already talked about it. The heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so we have then the permanence. What is permanent? What is reliable? What will not change? See? And again, that is the Word of God. Now, it's not just words on a page. It's the truth that's proclaimed by those words, by those teachings that have come down to us from the Scriptures and the teachings of the Church. And so, again, this is for us a very, very important thing. There's a perspective of passing, there is a permanence proclaimed, and then there's obviously a priority that is prescribed. The Lord says at the end or in the gospel, he says, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprouts leaves, you know that the summer's coming near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the end is near. And so the Lord says that when you see tumult in this world, when you see chaos, when you see everything from natural disasters to the fall of political kingdoms, I mean, how many of us grew up in those times when we thought the Soviet Union would never collapse, that Berlin Wall would never come down? And it did. It did. We watched with astonishment as we looked at those things. Those two twin towers in our New York, you know, we thought, oh, they're just there forever. Those huge, are huge buildings. Ooh. And there they came crashing down. You see. So, again, the Lord says, when you see things like this going on, remember, remember. So you look at a fig tree and it's beginning to sprout leaves and you say, hey, the summer's coming. Or there's a south wind and you know it's going to be hot. In other words, the Lord says, look, you are not stupid. You're just forgetful. Remember these things. Hold them. Keep them before you. Realize that the day will come upon you, very suddenly perhaps, like a thief. It will come. There may be, but there are always signs of that coming. The death of a loved one, the death of a friend, perhaps some huge chaotic thing in the world, just even political seasons that come and go. One party's on top and is king. The other party will never be strong again. And then the whole thing reverses. You know, all this, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. But when you see all this tumult, remember, that's the point. This is not stable. This is not passing away. Do not put your hopes on these things. Live in the world. Work with it. Try to make it a little better. But at the end of the day, mainly keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes on God. Never stop looking at him, calling upon him, and listening to him. Because he alone is unchanging. He alone, his word is unchanging. One of the things the church insists upon is that that Revelation ended with the death of the last apostle. There will be no more books added to the Bible. At the end of the book of Revelation, it says, if anyone adds to this book, all the curses herein will apply to him. Or if anyone takes away from it. I went by a church not so long ago, and they had something up there that says, God is still revealing. You know, basically what they were trying to say is, hey, we've got a new way of understanding sex today, or we got a new way of understanding greed, or whatever. You know, whatever. No, we have God's way that doesn't change. It's fixed. Stay with that. It will not change to suit us. We must change to conform to it. So here we are in a world that's going to pieces. St. Paul says, everything you see is passing away, but the things that are unseen remain forever. So, again, in some sense, this is a hard message, but it's a consoling message. Simply this, look. Don't get too anxious or too worried or too worked up. If you are, I'm going to say, you're probably watching too much cable news. That's the first thing I'm going to tell you. Or too much talk radio or something. It'll pass. Things will come and go. So don't be too scared or anxious about these things. It's a consoling message. But then the sobering message is, I too will pass. What am I doing? I'm going to die. What am I doing to get ready to meet God? What am I doing? Am I listening to his word? Am I praying? Do I read scripture and try to conform my mind and my life to it? What am I doing? Or am I just all worked up about stuff that's not as important as I might think it is? Or am I distracted by it? I'll leave you with this idea. One of the deceptions of the devil that he holds most of us in bondage over is that he wants us to get all worked up about things we can't do anything about so that we don't do things about those things we can do something about. Again, I'll repeat that. The devil wants us to be all worked up about stuff we can't do much about so that we don't focus on the things we can do something about. Most of you have heard this little parable before, but there were three demons who met with Satan down in hell, and they said, we've all got three different plans to really trip up the human race. So the first demon says, well, tell me your plan, says Satan. The first demon says, I'm going to tell them there is no God. The devil laughs. He says, they know in their heart there's a God. They know. You won't get very far with that. You'll get a few atheists, but you're not going to get many. People basically know our enemy, God, exists. Second guy steps up. I'm going to tell them there's no hell. Satan says, they all know there's a hell. They've already visited here. The third demon, and he says to Satan, hey, I got this plan. This guy says they're going to know there's no God. This guy says there's no heaven. I'm just going to tell them there's no hurry. Satan says, you're the man. Now you go and talk to them about that. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. All right, you're going to die. You don't get to say when. Don't run around in a panic, but good, solid, daily, sober preparation for judgment day. The Lord says, look, everything's passing. So focus on what isn't. My word. And myself and the kingdom that I'm offering you. Focus there. And be urgent about it, not in a panic, but be urgent. Make it a real priority in your life. Somebody say amen.